Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank you for coming out, and I'd like to present my topic today, which is Balaam. So, Balaam, what do you think of when I say Balaam? Well, everyone here who's ever been to Sunday school, I'm sure, knows the story of Balaam. If you don't, great, we're going to talk about it. But, I'm just scanning the crowd quickly, and you all qualify to have a root beer float because you got here on time. And, what I want to talk about the most is really the aspect of Balaam's life that is talked about later in great detail, because frankly, Balaam is a confusing figure in the Bible. But the thing that we think about the most is his donkey. So we think about Balaam and his talking donkey. But at times we don't always remember what the details are surrounding it. We know his donkey talked to him and warned him. Well, sometimes even myself, I find it hard to remember the details of, well, what was he warning him about? Not just the angel in front of him that had a sword, but what else? Also, it's fair to note that when Balaam talks in the Bible, in Numbers, he says things that God tells him to say, specifically in Numbers, and he says the truth. But the problem here is that Balaam is not a prophet of God, although he spoke the truth. He's not recorded as someone who followed God. In fact, he went the other way, and it's a warning to us. So, what I want you to consider now is we're going to do a quiz. Is everybody ready for a quiz? All right, so this quiz is going to be in your own head, so I'm not going to grade you, but you have to get 50% or more to get your root beer float also. Okay? So I'm just going to ask a few questions, and inside your head, you can just come up with your answer, and then we'll talk about the answer, all right? Everybody knows that you get a root beer float if you get 50%. I think that was a billboard. All right. What was the name of the king who hired or tried to hire Balaam? Think about it in your head. Sounds like Balaam. Everybody think they have it? All right, Numbers 22 says Balak. Balak. So when we talk about Balaam, a lot of times we say Balak and Balaam because they go hand in hand, right? Okay, how you doing so far? All right, question number two. Besides the donkey and Balaam, who were the other people that were on this trip that when Balaam spoke? Now, I don't know if this was included in the miracles part of the summer Sunday school. No, it wasn't. Okay, well, think about it. Do you think you have your answer in your head? All right, let's see what the answer is. It says in Numbers 22 also, that the Moabite officials, the people that Balak sent to get Balaam, they were on this trip. In addition, two servants of Balaam. Did you remember that? I didn't. I couldn't have told you about the princes or the Moabite officials, or even the two servants, frankly. But they were there. It was kind of a crowd there. Okay, next question. How many times did Balaam beat his donkey in this circumstance? All right, think of a number. You're probably right what you're thinking. This is not a trick question. Three times. You get that one? I think I would have got that one. Three times. Three separate times. Why did he beat the donkey the first time? What did the donkey do that made him beat him? Can you think of that one? The first time. First time, the answer is, so the angel stood in the road, and there was a field on one side, and the donkey veered off into the field. So Balaam started hitting the donkey, because apparently he didn't see the angel standing right there. Okay, that was number one. Number two, what was the second time? The answer is, he went into a narrow path with a wall on both sides in a vineyard, it says. There's a vineyard on both sides. And the donkey squeezed over to one side and crushed Balaam's leg against the wall. So then he started beating the donkey again. Third time, what happened? Third time, this one, think you might get this one? He laid down. So this time, the donkey saw the angel, and there was nowhere to go, right or left. It was just right in the way, and he laid down, and then Balaam started hitting him. So how'd you do? Pretty good, pretty bad. Maybe you need to read it again. I know I did. I read it a lot of times, over and over again. So this is kind of the thing that I, Craig talked about Jonah. Well, the more you read it, the more you see, the more detail you see. And it's interesting to note. So was the donkey always uncooperative? They say donkeys are stubborn, right? Well, was the donkey uncooperative in the past? Answer, no. The donkey said himself, am I not your own donkey whom you've always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing things like this to you? And Balaam says, no. So he was a pretty cooperative donkey. And even in this circumstance, he was saving Balaam. So how'd you do? That was it for the quiz. So, let me give you a little bit of the background of this story. So, we know the story of Balaam and the donkey, okay? But what happened right before it? Well, right before it, Israel was marching through into the Promised Land, and they had just defeated two great kings near Balak. Balak was the other king. King Sihon and King Og were defeated. So Balak is really worried about this, and rightly so. Balak, the son of Zippor, he is the king of the Moabites, and his name may mean devastator or one who lays waste. So what did he want to do? Well, he wanted Balaam to curse Israel. If you don't remember anything else from this story, Balak was wanting to hire Balaam, who was known to, when he would say something, it would come true or come to pass. So Balak said, you know, this Israel is coming through, and they're just going to rip us apart. I need some help. I need this guy who he's cursed in the past and who he's blessed in the past have been cursed and blessed. So he said, you know, everybody in Moab was sick with dread. That's what the verse says right here that I highlighted. And so he decided to do something. King Balak said, this is what I want to do. I want to get this guy here, curse Israel. So, like I said, it says, whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So this is what Balak wanted to accomplish. He wanted to curse Israel. Balaam, his name means destruction. He was a hireling prophet, which means basically people would give him money to do certain things. And he was from a different area. So Balak had to go get him. He had to go send for him. And that's where that trip took place. So he actually spoke with the tongue of a prophet. But unfortunately, he didn't believe it himself. And he was not accounted for righteousness in the Bible, like many others in the Old Testament. So it said the Lord used him to reveal his mind concerning Israel, that Israel is blessed. So God used this guy, Balaam, to reveal that. But his heart was not in it. This is true probably many times in our lives. We know people that speak the truth, but their heart is not in it. So let's take another look at some images. So I talked about some of the things that happened to the talking donkey and Balaam. So I found some artwork, and we're going to talk about what's wrong with the artwork. All right? So why is it good? Why is it bad? This is a painting by Gustav Jaeger, 1836. So a couple of good things is that if you look closely, you'll see to the left, you see what I think is the princes or the people from Moab, possibly, that came to get him. And then if you look back here, you see these two servants. You see that? And then we've got Balaam with his staff. He dropped it. And it said in the Bible that he used the staff to hit the donkey. You can kind of see that it's a narrow path. And we see the donkey has laid down. So this is the third part. And it looks like the donkey's talking, right? Looks like he's like looking right up at him and talking, right? The bad part, I don't think this angel's very scary, frankly. It's got rainbows on its wings. I don't know. I'm not sure I'd be afraid of this, even though it had a sword, right? And also, it said that Balaam fell on his face. I don't know. To me, it kind of looks like he's dabbing. I don't know. But that's his interpretation, Mr. Jaeger. All right, now this one's a pretty nice, like, dramatic painting by Rembrandt in 1626. The bad is, again, the angel, I don't know. I'm not very scared of that angel. I don't know about you. And it's also to the side, right? We were talking about it being right in front, right? So this is a point where it would be right in front. The donkey laid down. The donkey looks like it's talking. Balaam's got his staff, and it's a narrow path. And actually, I see the princes behind, and the servants behind, the two servants and the princes behind. So I think this one's pretty good, besides the angel. Now we're getting into less artwork. Now it's more kind of like Sunday school drawings or whatever. But this one's pretty good. There's a walled area. might be a vineyard. It's a staff. He's got the staff in his hand. He looks like the donkey is talking to him. And this angel looks a little more frightening to me. And it's got the sword right in front of him. But I don't see any servants or princes. Maybe they were up ahead. Maybe they were behind. I don't know. The next one here, I kind of like this one. The vineyard's there, the wall on both sides. The angel looks impressive to me, a little on the scarier side. And the donkey's talking, but no servants. And you see some of these grapes here. It is a vineyard. This one I like. Most of it is good. The staff, the servants, the scary angel. He almost looks on fire. And the donkey laid down. It's closed. The servants are there. And maybe the princes are up ahead. So this one I like the best. So I guess what I'm pointing out is, you know, sometimes you read a book and then you see the movie and you're disappointed by the movie and you say, well, you know, this wasn't quite accurate. Well, I'd like us to get into the same habit when we look at things like this, because a lot of the times we get these images and they're not really entirely accurate. We've got other instances like that. And there's one other instance of a talking animal in the Bible that I know of. And, you know, Adam and Eve and the serpent spoke. And, you know, the serpent, that's another one. The Bible says that it was cursed to crawl on the ground, and that it was the most cunning animal in the garden. Well, just keep in mind that, you know, when you see images, look to the Bible and look to it and make up your mind to read the Bible and be critical of things when you need to be critical of them. So, I pointed out before, Balaam's confusing. You read it, you think, well, God told him, Balak asked him to curse Israel. And when you read through Numbers 22 and 24, he doesn't curse them. In fact, he does the opposite, and Balak gets angry. He's like, I brought you to curse them. You're blessing them. And so you think, you know, this is great. Balaam's a great guy. He must be doing the right thing. Well, he made these four different prophecies. But he kept disobeying God. God told him not to go. And he continued to go. And a confusing part for me, excuse me, is that God could stop anyone from doing anything. And at times, as parents, we think we should just, you know, we can put an end to this. But there's times that we say we need to let our kids make a decision. So God does this. Balaam knows that he shouldn't go, but he keeps going anyway. And a talking donkey doesn't even stop him. An angel with a sword doesn't stop him. He keeps doing his own thing. So the important thing here is that we're going to look at some other passages in the New Testament that really shed light on what Balaam did. In other Old Testament scriptures and in other New Testament scriptures, three in particular, they mention Balaam by name and that he was evil and did the wrong thing and so much more. It speaks against Balaam. So I brought, this is a picture of Samson. And, you know, frankly, Samson to me is a confusing character as well, because he does a lot of rotten things. He acts rashly. He kills. He does a lot of different things. And, you know, But God delivers Israel from the Philistines through him. So to me, when I read of the things that Samson did, I would say, you know, Samson was a rough guy and he just didn't do what God wanted him to do. But it turns out by this passage here in Hebrews, it says right out that, you know, he's in this hall of fame of faith. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, David and Samuel. I mean, he's in the same sentence with David and Samuel. That says something. Samson was regarded as a faithful man. But I want to take the opposite approach here with Balaam. Balaam was not regarded as righteous, even though he said some great things about Israel. God used his mouth to say these words. So Balaam had four prophecies. Now, I don't want to read all of these. I just wanted to highlight a few things that he said to show you that, you know, the things that he said in Numbers, they sound great. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? He's telling this to Balak. I can't curse them. God's not letting me. And he says, let me die the death of the righteous and let my end be like his, Israel. He says these nice, poetic, flowery things in his first prophecy. Well, Balak doesn't give up. He tries to get him to stand in another place and look at Israel and say, okay, now curse them. Behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. These are great things to say about Israel. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. So even a third time, Balaam says, how lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. God brings him out of Egypt. He has the strength of a wild ox. Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. So Balaam doesn't say anything bad about them, but God is using his mouth to say this. Balaam in his heart doesn't want to say it, but he says it through God. So before the fourth prophecy, this is what Balaam says. Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord. I must say only what the Lord says. And he says, let me warn you of what this people will do to you in the days to come. So his fourth prophecy is really just doom on Moabites and others. And it's a prophecy of that was partially fulfilled in David, but will be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. So a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. So these prophecies are against Moab. So Balak is furious here. He's like, he wanted to give Balaam money to just curse them and hopefully they wouldn't overpower the Moabites. So in my own thinking, I always think, well, why didn't God just, you know, stop Balaam from going to see Balak and even having these conversations? Because he told him don't go see Balak. Simple as that. But he allowed it. So God acts in several ways. I listed some things. Sometimes he can prevent us from doing something that's sinful. There are times in my life that I recall where God, through the Holy Spirit, prevented me from doing something. Maybe in your life you can think of that too. But there's also times when our will is to keep going. We, for whatever reason, we continue in the sin or we move forward into something that we shouldn't be doing, and God permits it. So God permitted Balaam to go along with Balak, but it wasn't what God wanted. And even though he did speak the things that God wanted him to, we'll see that he did other things that were detrimental to Israel. You know, God could stop us, but he does allow us to make mistakes. And the things that we do are things that we find later that God will reward. When we do his will, he will reward us. So there's also times when prayers for you can help you. So I know my parents and others prayed for me. And those prayers help, and God does intervene at times, and he does listen to our prayers. God sometimes directly punishes things too. There's instances in the Bible where something's punished directly. The incident with Korah and Ananias and Sapphira. What are some other things? Well, you know, Balaam spoke all the correct prophecies. He kept going back to Balak. He wanted to get paid. He was willing to think of another way to curse Israel. I wonder if he thought he was fooling God. I know in my life that's something that goes through your mind. Because you're able to do something, you kind of think, well, I'm getting away with it. Well, that's not the case. But even in our own minds, we convince ourselves of this. So, did he think God was wrong? Did he think that Israel wasn't blessed by God, or there wasn't anything special in Israel that he should bless them or protect them? Well, here's some of the other passages in the Old Testament that specifically talk about Balak and Balaam. It says in Micah, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. And so it's just talking about that, you know, God didn't allow it. In that same chapter, it goes on to say that, shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? So when Balak went to convince Balaam on the mountain, looking down at Israel, he made several offerings on altars, 7 bulls, 7 rams, many times to try to curry the favor of God. And Jeremy talked about this today, that doing something like that, but for the wrong reasons, isn't going to get you anywhere. And in this case, they were trying to appease God to curse Israel, but in their mind, they wanted to curse Israel, and God had blessed them. So what does the Lord want? But for us to do justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with God. That is not what Balaam was trying to accomplish here. So, you know, Balaam did get some payment. We read in Numbers 22, verse 40, it said, when Balak did make an offering, it said he offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and the princes. So the princes got a little payment for going out and getting Balaam. And even Balaam got payment. He got some oxen and sheep. That was a big deal back then. That's a great deal of resources right there. So we do read that he did get something out of this. You know, we do also read that he was killed. He was killed by Israel. Twice we read of it, also in Joshua, he was killed. So the three things that are in the New Testament specifically are called the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the doctrine of Balaam. So 2 Peter talks specifically about Balaam. It says they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. The way of Balaam is basically doing something for monetary gain, something that is spiritually led, should be, but his intention was for money, for fame, for power even. And that's the way of Balaam. Doing something for monetary gain that is supposed to be for God, that we should be doing something. So, this is an important aspect of what Balaam's fault is here. So, we read here, they've forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam. So, this is not a good thing. The way of Balaam is a bad thing. And yes, he, like I said before, he did bless Israel, but his heart was not in the right place. It's almost the exact opposite. I mean, it's we need to have our heart in the right place. And even more so, not doing it for greedy intentions and money. He got money, he got fame, he probably he received those oxen and sheep. Let's look at a couple of other verses talk about how God turned the curse into a blessing for Israel, because the Lord your God loves you. Another verse says, you know, Balaam tried to curse you, but he couldn't. He couldn't curse you. He continued to bless you because I delivered you. And again in Nehemiah it says, but he hired Balaam to curse you, but he couldn't curse you. I turned it into a blessing. The error of Balaam. The second thing is the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam is that Balaam thought these people couldn't possibly be blessed. He looked at them with his eyes and said, I should be able to curse them because really there is no group of people that aren't rotten, and I'll curse them. And God says the contrary. He says they are blessed. And this, I think, speaks first of all that Israel is a chosen people, God's chosen people. Simple as that. If I want to take something and apply it to me, not to take away anything from Israel, but I can see a parallel. in that how we are as Christians. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have died and are hidden with Christ in God. And the world can look at us and see the bad things that we do because we still do sin. But positionally, I'm in a place of blessing because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Balaam couldn't see that. He couldn't see that these people were blessed. And even today, some people may look at you as a Christian and say, you know, you're not in the best place. Look at you. What do you do? You just did this, you did that. I don't think you're living like a Christian. Well, that doesn't mean we should continue living that way, but there are times that we slip up, but we are saved once and for all. And under the Lord Jesus Christ's blood, his sacrifice paid for it all, and we can live in it today. So the error of Balaam is thinking that the blessed are not blessed. God determines who's blessed. And those that are under Christ's blood are blessed. The doctrine of Balaam. This is probably one of the bigger things that Balaam did is he couldn't come out and curse Israel. So what he did was he basically gave Balak some ideas. He said, well, do this and, you know, entice Israel with the women of Moab and entice them and they'll be joined with your women and then they'll follow your gods. And that's what happened. You read later that there was a curse that came down and many were killed until the Moabite women and Israel the men with them were killed. But many thousands died. So, you know, this is another confusing point. He couldn't say the words to curse Israel, but he was so greedy for gain that he gave Balak a plan that he would implement and would stumble Israel. So you would say, well, why didn't God stop that? Well, I don't have an answer for that. He allowed it. But we can learn from it. People are going to steer us in the wrong direction. There's evil teachers out there. There's people that are out to get Christians and those that are trying to live for the Lord. It's simply a warning that we need to keep in mind. So, this in Numbers 25 is where this occurred, this doctrine of Balaam teaching evil things that you shouldn't do, that Israel shouldn't do. So again, through the counsel of Balaam, he brought about this trespass in the incident of Peor. So I'd like to finish off with a verse in Romans, a few verses in Romans. And I thought it was appropriate for the topic. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It says in verse 33. Who then is the one that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. We have the Lord Jesus interceding for us now. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I hope this helps you as you read your Bible and you see things about Balaam and the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam, to see that there are people that will try to try to break down your faith, and we can always look to God to strengthen us and know that no one can separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to study your word and look at this topic of Balaam. And we know it's confusing, and there's many difficult passages to consider. However, we see through your word that Balaam was an evil person, not submitting to your will in all ways, but trying to bring a curse to those that are blessed. And we just pray that any who doesn't know the Lord Jesus might come to know him and be under the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for this evening. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.